You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everybody, welcome to episode 97 of Marriage Therapy Radio. This is Zach. I'm here with Laura, who is back from her travels. Today on the episode, we're talking a little bit about one of my favorite things to do and to be. We're talking about the art of asking questions and of being curious. I really feel fortunate to be able to ask questions for a living. I love teaching my clients about it. I love teaching my kids about it. I like trying to find new questions at home. I'm always interested when people say, oh, that's a good question. Like, what do they mean? And we talk about all of that today. And just in terms of helping you gain more leverage in your relationship through curiosity. We also have a brand new product for you that I'm excited to share. And I've got a discount code for you, which is at the end of the episode, but it's related to this dad joke, which is maybe the oldest, dumbest dad joke on the planet, but it's this one. Why is 6 afraid of 7? If you don't know the answer and you want to, or if you just want a discount on our new product, listen through the end of the episode. We'll give you a code and you'll get the answer and some savings. But for now, just enjoy the episode. As always, it's a cool conversation. Stick around.
Good morning.
Good morning. You look fresh.
I look fresh. I took a shower. I took a shower before my workout.
That's okay. You got to show up looking fly for your workout.
Rebecca was like, aren't you working out? I was like, yes, but I'm also cold. So I wanted to take a hot shower.
I am sometimes a two-a-day shower. Okay. I'll be honest. I will bathe at the wrong times. So I will sit all day long in my sweaty, I call it marinating. I'm marinating right now, actually. I worked out. Now I'm going to marinate in my workout clothes and my sweat. And then at the end of the day, before I get into bed, that's when I'll take my shower. So my sheets are the cleanest thing in the house. And then everything else is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, that's TMI. That works.
TMI. Yeah. Tell me about Ninja. Are you getting better?
I am getting better. In fact, I went last week and there was two newbies there, two guys who were there for the first time. And I was like able to help them. Not a lot, but I am getting better.
Are you ever going to take video? Just a little bit of video. Just
well,
for
it's
me.
Hard. I mean, I don't know how to do it, right? I'm sitting there punching people. I'm not going to have my phone in my hand while I'm like,
oh, believe me, you just find a millennial. Go find a millennial and they'll tell you how to do it. It's it's perfectly, they have these things where you can put your phone and it has suction cups to a mirror so that you can take selfies at the gym. I know this because I have a lot of gym friends.
Do you consider yourself a millennial?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know who Eliza Schlesinger is?
No.
She's a comedian. And
she's a blonde.
I showed her to you once.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she has her latest special is called Elder Millennial because she's like on the, like the oldest millennial there is.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can say that I'm above millennials, but let's be honest. I really am a millennial.
At heart.
At heart. Well, what's going on with you? You have something really exciting, which I'm really like stoked about. Now on the website, Marriage Therapy Radio, you can sign up to be informed about your new journal that's coming out.
You can? I didn't even know that.
Oh my gosh.
actually, you can't. I do have a website called marriagetherapyjournal.com, which is the beginning of me like collecting and to see how much interest there is and whether or not I can get people excited about it. So if you're excited about this project that I have, you know, here's something I learned too. Mm. I don't know if you experienced this with your Epic Wives experiment, but I'm about 80% done, which I've been saying for a while.
Yes, you have.
Because like 80% is pretty easy. The last 20% is really hard, you know?
Yeah.
So, And it takes, and I have a little bit of a team that I'm putting together. So I've got content from other people, and it's hard to hold them accountable to something that isn't their own project. So it's, it's a little bit of a, the home stretches have been a little bit more challenging than I hoped, but I'm excited about it. I've got, well, it was going to be February 1st because February is the new January.
Totes.
and then it was going to be like February, like second week because of Valentine's Day, and I could tie it up to that. But I just don't know when it's going to be done because now that like all my content's done, but I'm waiting for other people, and it's into my editor designer, and she's doing a fantastic job, but she's also like 8 months pregnant or 8.5 months pregnant or something. So, so it's just life.
There's a natural deadline right there.
For her, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Wow. Well, I love that you said February is the new January because I couldn't disagree more. I do believe that December is the new January. There is this whole mindset and this movement that a lot of people kind of give themselves. They keep saying, you know, I'm going to eat healthier in January. I'm going to finally start going to bed at 10 o'clock and I'm going to put my phone down at 8 o'clock and I'm going to do this in January. And there's this movement now that you have to nip it in the bud. Otherwise you just sort of steamroll and you give yourself permission to steamroll yourself into January and you end up being like the Michelin man by January. So December is the new January in my household.
Okay. Well,
which I have been to the gym, I think maybe 5 times this week and it feels incredible. And all I have to do is get to the gym. My expectations are really low. If I like yesterday, I ran 1 mile. And I did some abs, but I was probably there for 20 minutes and I didn't break a sweat, but I went. And that is a good thing.
Something I've learned is that I never regret being at the gym or being at the pool.
Yeah.
I hate going to the gym or going to the pool. Like, particularly because for me, the pool is at 6:30 a.m. And I'm just like, ugh. So the work between 6 and like 6:20 is way harder than the work of actually swimming for an hour or swimming 2,500 yards, you know, like.
Totally. So I have this, just goal setting. Now we can talk about some, I mean, we have this friendly banter, which I think it's honestly very split. I was reading some of the reviews on iTunes and some people love the banter and some people absolutely hate it. And I would just say, hey, if you hate it, just skip forward. You know, we're going to get to some actual content by minute 10. But this is actual content because I've talked about this before, this whole idea of a push goal. So if you have a goal to get to the gym or if you have the goal to go grocery shopping, come on. Yeah,
that's my goal. My goal is to go shopping.
Go to the pool. Then the push goal would be, well, what's making it difficult for me to get there? And if I was to create a goal and accomplish that goal, how could I knock down all the others? So it might just be that you're cold, like first thing in the morning. And so you might end up like going to bed in your gym clothes and then with sweatpants on top of that. So that when you get out of bed, you're already warm, already in your clothes. You don't have to, you know, change out of them. And that might just help you to get to your next goal.
Believe it or not, I found it's kind of uncomfortable to sleep in a Speedo.
Huh? Do you wear a Speedo, Zach? Decided now we really need video of you working out.
No, they're called jammers. So they're shorts that go down my legs, but they're skin tight for sure.
It's okay. I still want video.
They go down halfway to my knees, but they're tight. Yeah.
Do they make you feel like a can of thinking of?
Nope.
They don't. Because for women, when we wear like Spanx or something like that, it basically sucks all of that area in, makes you feel really good, and it smooths it all out. But then it basically like pushes all of your fat toward your knee, and then like your gut kind of hangs over. If I was wearing these pants, that's exactly what I'm imagining. I would look like a can of busted biscuits.
Well, I mean, I don't look like Michael Phelps, that's for sure.
No.
Okay.
you're better looking than Michael Phelps.
I want to teach you a game that's based on our topic today.
Okay, let's do it.
We play this at our dinner table. It's called Questions. Have you ever played it?
No. Oh, we're playing it already. No. That was the question.
No. The rules are that it's just like it's either a game that you play with your kids at the dinner table or it's like a drinking game of some sort. But basically, I ask a question and then you have to ask a question. And then I ask a question, then you have to ask a question. And if you don't ask a question or you pause too long, then you lose, right? You're out.
So you can only respond in the form of a question. This is like Jeopardy. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to play?
I don't know. Would you like to start us off?
Well, that's 1-0 because I asked you a question and you didn't ask me a question. Oh, I you kind of did. But you said, I don't know. I don't know. Doesn't count. That's cheating. I don't know.
I don't know, comma.
But you're smarter. Like, you're smart. You're ahead of the game anyway.
I am.
That's clever.
Yeah. Thank you.
In my shower this morning, I was thinking of ways I was going to trip you up and score like 4 points before the game even started.
Okay. Well, but now, you know what?
Now I'm abandoning that strategy.
My goal is that most people think about me while they're in the shower. So I'm glad that it's already affected you.
I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last night. Have you seen this movie yet?
Not at all. I have a new Netflix series, though, that I went through in about a day.
I dug it. I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to, but the last, I don't know, half an hour sort of makes the whole movie, and it's really cool. What's your Netflix show?
You.
Ooh, yeah, I can't do it.
How could you not do it? You have been, you got me sucked into these murder mysteries. So I'm listening audio version of, what is the book that you recommended? It's about the husband and wife. Husband and wife who go out, My Lovely Wife. So.
Oh yeah. That book.
You didn't like it?
I found it forgettable. See, I couldn't even remember the title.
Oh, so you recommended it to me, but My Lovely Wife
like a year ago.
Murder mystery. It takes me a while.
You're
buddy.
Still listening to it?
No, I just have a long, long list. It's actually, I've been right, listening to it for so long that Scribe, it's kind of like audible.com, but cheaper.
I want to respect.
And we're at 10 minutes. Now we'll talk about.
All the people who hate our banter, now you can be done listening to it.
Yeah, we told you to scroll to 10 minutes.
This has been on my mind for a while. So yes, the questions game was a tee up because I'm really thinking about how much fun it is for me and you, I guess, to have the job that we have where we get to ask questions for a living.
Totally.
But I found myself ambivalent about when people say, that's a really good question. Because then I go, is it? Was it really a really good question? Or is that just the thing that you say when you hear a question that strikes you in a particular kind of way? But I do want to begin to explore, like, what is a good question? And particularly, how do you as a couple cultivate good questions in ways that allow you to get to know each other better, and also that open up your kind of your heart, your mind, your soul at the dinner table? Because it's not going to be like last night. I'm watching this movie and Brad Pitt takes his shirt off and I'm like, Alexa, how old is Brad Pitt? And she tells me. That's not the question that's going to open my heart, my mind, and my soul, although it is going to motivate me to get back into the gym because the dude is 56.
Hold on. Do you hear this?
You also like to know the net worth of Brad.
Hold on. For our listeners, if you want to know what just happened, I don't know how she heard it because you're in my headphones.
She's listening to
that. Is so creepy. So here we're talking about Brad Pitt and you happen to say something about the A-L-E-X-A.
Yeah.
Because we won't say her name because she's listening in my room. We're in two separate states and she just answered your question.
So she's a good listener. Like if only every wife was like Alexa who like listened and like responded from states away. That would be amazing.
I'm a little creeped out by that. not even going to joke. Okay. So it's about opening your heart. So I've had the same response where I will ask questions all day long. And then I'll have somebody say, wow, that's actually a really good question. First, I think it's a little offensive when they say that's actually a really good question. But it does kind of make me wonder what makes for a good question. Is it that you have never thought about it yourself or you can't just, I think oftentimes when we get asked a question, we have that knee jerk reaction. Like what you were talking about, if you're sitting around the dinner table and you pause too long before responding, you're out or you lose in some way. And I think a good question is a question where you go to respond and you're like, wait a second. I have to think about this. Like, I don't think I know the answer. If I respond, that's not going to be accurate. It's something that actually makes you think, and maybe you haven't thought about it before, or it makes you think in a different way. It pushes you out of your comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah. I think it has to, I think a really good question makes your brain do something that it's not pre-programmed to do. You know, I had clients in my office yesterday and I think I'm their fifth therapist in about 6 years.
Wow.
And so here's what I know. I know that four of them have not been effective. For some reason, they didn't go back to these four people. Maybe they moved geographically or something, which ended up being the case for one of them. But in most cases, so I just said, all right, cool. I'm happy to be your fifth therapist, but why am I going to be different? Like, what's going to happen? What am I going to do that these other people didn't do? Or what did they do that you're afraid I'm going to do? Good. And it's almost like they had never even pondered that question. And so what it led us to was this conversation about what they are willing to do, right? Because people hire us and they want us to fix it. But I kind of constantly come back to, no, it's going to be actually you that fixes it. You know, you're going to be the one who, and I think a key component in that has got to be a bias toward curiosity. It's got to be a bias toward, I'm interested in creating or learning something new about you that I haven't already pre-programmed in my brain. You know, like, I already know why my wife does this. So I'm no longer curious. I'm no longer interested. I'm no longer giving her the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going along as usual until somehow I become more curious, or she asks me a question, or I learn to ask her a question that opens up a new area of discovery. So,
yeah. I was listening to a podcast. I've been taking in some interesting, I have some of my old favorites, but you know, probably like a lot of people, you binge listen and then you're kind of like waiting every week for a new podcast. Mm. And my routine is to listen to a podcast during, I would call it like my self-development time, while I'm at the gym or getting ready in the morning. This is all backstory that you don't need to know. But one of the things that I enjoyed was this idea that I don't know how you feel about this, but I find that couples feel like their partner should know. Like, well, my partner should know that I want him to throw me a birthday party. My partner should know that I like to, like, their preferences, if you will. And they get to this place where they're thinking, I shouldn't have to ask. I shouldn't have to, give my partner this information. And man, that one infuriates me.
Well, and it invites for me as a therapist this question, which is, why shouldn't they have to ask? Like, where's that coming from? What is that question? Like, what is that assumption based on that they shouldn't have to ask? Because now they have to go, well, because I told them in 1986. And I'm like, no, because they're not the same person they were in 1986, you know?
And neither are you.
Rebecca and I right now are kind of in the middle of, I think reorienting is probably the right word. Just sort of kind of understanding that our kids are more adult and they need less of us. And so we're kind of having to turn toward each other a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And we have to doing it in new ways, which means that we have to get curious. We have to ask questions. And one thing that I've really, really noticed is how you ask matters, not just that you ask. It's so easy, particularly if you're caught up in your old story, to hear a question asked and to make assumptions about the agenda that's behind it. And so we've almost had to go, I'm asking this question because I literally don't know the answer. And I'm trying to get direction about what you want me to do next versus, did you want me to fix the dishwasher? Did you want me to go to the grocery store? Did you want me to, you crazy person,
I've noticed that. I didn't want to cut you off, but I did. I had this happen with a couple the other day and it was just such an open question, but the way that it was perceived by the listener, they took it as an attack. And I was sitting there, I'm like, I don't think that was an attack, but you know what? Doesn't matter what I think. I'm not married to you. I'm not the one you're asking the question of. So they really had to figure out, like, how do I ask a question so that my partner feels like I'm being curious and instead not being criticizing or not attacking in any sort of way?
One thing I've been coaching my clients to do is when we start talking about this and we start going into how are they going to put this into practice at home?
Yeah.
Because this is me just being good at my job. I'm a really good question asker in my office. Like I'm just good at it. I've got lots of practice. I've got lots of, you know, sort of preloaded questions, whatever. And so they experience my curiosity in a way that they cannot experience from one another. They give me a certain degree of leverage because I'm a professional and I'm being hired. So that's not me bragging. That's just me talking about the difference between when somebody tries to go home and do what I do
yeah,
and it's not successful, one of the things I've been saying is you got to be really, really explicit. You have to say, I need to ask you a question. I'm not sure how it's going to come out. I don't want to upset you. This is not an attack, but I don't know the, I need this information that I don't have, whether it's about your heart, your soul, your mind, the dishwasher, the grocery store. I think there's something about being explicit that really does change the nature of the game, which is why I think, these things like the love maps decks, card decks, or the chat packs, or the, you know, the, even the question game that you play at the dinner table, it creates a certain kind of intention and explicitness that relieves some of the relational.
Yeah. You know what you're doing gravity. In the moment, right? Yeah. Like it's obvious. I have a card deck in front of me. I'm going to read this card and you are then going to answer it. And what we're doing is we're having a conversation, but when it comes out of the blue, I hear what you're saying. But at the same time, I'm wondering why it is that people are needing to be so explicit. I almost feel like if my husband came to me with just an open-ended question out of the blue, we're sitting at dinner and he just says, hey, babe, you know, what do you envision your life to be like in the next 5 or 10 years? I would hear that and I would be like, wow, thank you so much for asking. I would love to explain what's going on inside my head and my thoughts. I don't see myself getting defensive. I'm wondering why.
Okay, two things about that. So I don't want to cut you off, but I do.
Yeah. Okay. touche.
No, two things about that. One thing is he is being explicit when he says, hey, babe, because he's setting the table. He's setting the table for what the conversation, the tone of the conversation, which is I'm talking to my babe.
Okay.
The second one is because of who you guys are, and that's unlike a lot of the clients that we see in our office,
that's true.
Your relationship has positive sentiment built in ways that's that you guys are constantly cultivating. Folks that are in our office, they don't necessarily have that going on. They usually have some built-in defensiveness or some built-in expectation of criticism or contempt that prevents them from being able to go to, hey, babe, I mean, what time are you working out today? Can be an incredibly offensive question to a couple that is a negative sentiment override, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Versus, hey, babe, what time are you working out today? Because which one of us is going to pick up the kit? You know, that's really, that's baked in. And so we've talked a lot about kind of putting positive sentiment back in as a strategy.
Right. Yeah.
But that's, but when it's not there, you have to own and acknowledge that that is part of the equation, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
We're not very good at this. We're not very good at curiosity. So let's try on our curiosity hats for like 30 minutes. Could we do that?
You sound like a preschool teacher.
Well, I know.
Everybody put on your curiosity hats.
Here's my favorite though. People talk about, this was one of my finer moments of wordplay in my office, which is some lady said, that sounds so remedial. And I was like, yeah, but you know what the root of remedial is? Remedy.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Crushed it.
Did she sit for a moment? She was like, that's why I'm paying you the big bucks.
Totally. Yeah. She was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Mind blown. No, I think that is just, I don't know. I get really excited when I ask a cool question or when I see a question has landed for people. And I do just want them to have that experience at their house because, being discovered or being known is really, really powerful for couples, particularly when they're operating on a certain degree of certainty or assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking of a lot of different things of like, why would this be important, right? Like one, it makes you feel closer, more connected. You're having a more intentional, deeper conversation with your partner when you're taking, gosh, here's the thing. The time that we have with our partners is so few and far between. And it's mostly in passing. It's mostly while the two of you are shuffling around in the morning, trying to get, you know, breakfast made, lunch is made, kids out the door. Maybe you're shuffling around trying to get ready in the morning. And it's not very often that we're actually intentional about the time that we spend conversing with each other. And it would be really cool to spend 10 minutes while you're sitting at the dinner table and saying, rather than just catching up on what was going on in our day, because you could probably, and I don't know, I think we know what happens in our partner's day oftentimes, because it sort of is on repeat. First, I drove to work, then I had a meeting, blah, blah, blah. But what if you set a goal to ask one open-ended question or just have a conversation in a different way. Be curious in a different way. Find out. I think I mentioned this a long time ago. We were digging deep into curiosity in my household, and I had just said, babe, what is one thing? Apparently I say babe to my husband a lot. Babe, what's one thing that you don't think I know about you? And that one I think is a really solid question, because there's a whole bunch of things. I could ask that question every day for a year and he could share with me a new detail. And depending on how vulnerable he wants to get is sort of what he decides to share. And it might be, well, you don't know that I have indigestion right now, or it could be, you don't know that I, you know, was, you know, abused as a kid or something like that. There's so many degrees of what you could share, but I think that that's a really fun one. And it could just be a habit that you pick up of just being curious on purpose.
I love that you kind of go to sort of, what if you asked one question a day? Like you're really kind of a measurable, targeted sort of person. I tend to be more global, I think. And if February is the new January, and if this podcast comes out, like, I don't know, 2 weeks before February 1st, what if you decided to dedicate 2020 to just becoming more curious, becoming more like really cultivating curiosity versus certainty, especially with your partner. And I don't mind telling something right now, which is that a couple of years ago, we wrote a booklet called 20 Questions for Deeper Connection with Your Partner, or something like that. I forget what it's called. But basically, it was like 20 of kind of the best questions we could think of to kind of generate conversation around the dinner table, or conversation around the, you know, just around like a new date culture. And so we haven't had that available for a while, but we're going to make it available on marriagetherapyradio.com. You can buy it right now. It's an easy download that you can grab, you know, and just have either on your phone or on your kitchen table for times when dinner rolls around. And there's some of my favorite questions that I use both in therapy and at my house. So
totally. It's the best of the best, because there are infinite amounts of questions. I mean, you can go onto Google and just Google them, but these are the questions that I think we have been testing out, and it's the questions where people go, oh, that's actually a really good question. I'm like, thank you. I will put that in the booklet. Yeah. Thank you for the feedback. Right on.
And maybe if there's enough interest, we can have 20 more questions. We could write another one.
20, you know what that just reminded me of is like the 50 shades, and then 50 shades darker, and then 50 shades. Yeah. So we'll go 20. I didn't read, but I watch them when I'm on business trips alone.
that is TMI for sure.
Oh, no, I was literally at the Delta lounge. I had no shame at all. I was thinking, I'm flying back from a business trip. I'm here at the airport. I'm enjoying a glass of wine, and I'm going to watch 50 Shades Darker on my laptop. And everybody's going to see what this poor lonely traveler is watching.
We had a similar experience, but yes, by the way, hold on. We had a gal house sit at our house one time when we were gone for like 10 days, and we came back and all of the previously watched, like loaded up on the computer was, I mean, on our television was all the 50 Shades movies. And I was like, wow, she went for it.
We're going to go ahead and steam clean the couch now.
By the way, what?
I don't even remember. I can't remember what. By the way, you outed me. You said Laura's not here. This was the last episode that came out when you interviewed your girls. And you said, I think the last thing Laura's doing is she's at a bar drinking wine somewhere in like Minnesota. I was eating dinner, Zach.
I'll just pull up the text. The one that says, I'm sipping wine at a hotel bar in wherever you were. So yeah, I'm sure you also had food. Hey, how baller was that podcast?
I mean, I sent you many text messages telling you over and over how incredible I thought you were. And that's very, very rare for me to say to you.
No, not me, them. They were funny. Mary's like, shut up, Abby. Let me talk.
I know. I like that you described it too, because I got the visual. I was listening to it while I was at the gym, and I got the visual of the three of you in your separate rooms. And I'm imagining all of you. I know your house, what it looks like. I'm imagining your girls in their room, because this was a snow day for you, right?
Yeah, totally.
You've been dealing. That is so smart as a dad. You're like, you know what we're going to do? Laura's unavailable to me. I'm stuck at home with teenage girls. You are going to work for me.
Yeah, for free. Cool. So I got to go. My ninja class starts in like 15 minutes.
Can't wait to see the video.
I'll see if I can take some video.
And video of you and your swimmers too.
That is going to probably have to take a month or so.
Okay.
Month or two.
Working on it. Maybe when the sun comes out.
When I'm closer to Michael Phelps' nest. No, we're going to Cabo on February the 14th, 15th, 15th. So I'm working on my Cabo body.
I think we're going to Hawaii. We sort of decided on a whim that we needed to get out.
That's fascinating, but I got to go.
All right. Hugs and kisses. Goodbye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio, guys. We are so excited to share our 20 questions with you. And as a faithful listener to the podcast, we're going to give you a discount. So Zach opened the show with one of the most obvious dad jokes ever. And if you want the answer to that, or maybe you just want a discount, all you have to do is enter the promo code DADJOKE. It's all one word, all lowercase, on our checkout page when you purchase the 20 questions. You can find this all under the products tab at our website, Marriage Therapy Radio. Just remember, your promo code is DADJOKES. Thanks so much for all of your time and attention you're putting toward making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.